I just turn to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we have gathered ourselves together for the sole purpose to worship Thee, our God. And as we have gathered ourselves together in faith, believing that You are in our midst, that You hear our pleas, our concerns, and that we might look into Your Word, that we might be blessed by Thee through the words of truth and life. So we commit this time into Your care and keeping in faith, trusting that You will use Thy servant as a tool in Thy hand, that we might submit ourselves unto Thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord this afternoon, I'd like to read out of the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word which with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. And therefore many of them believed, and also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as to it were the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he then the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered them, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "Some, he seemeth to be a settler forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know there that therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the strangers which were sent their time in spent their time in nothing else but either to talk, tell, or hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, given by art and man's devices. And the things of this ignorance God winked it at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, and howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus and Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
Our great God, our Father in heaven, we again in this day, Lord, come before thy holy presence upon bended knee, Lord, to thank thee, O God, for who thou art and to praise thee in the wonders of thy might. Father, we glorify thy name and we praise thee for all that thou dost do. And Father, we find it, Lord, it gives comfort to our soul and it gives us that fulfillment in thee, Lord, when we can come before thee with this spirit of worship in truth and in spirit, glorifying thee. Lord, even coming before thee with eyes of faith, that we might behold thee with our eyes of faith and see thee in thy glory and in thy splendor, and knowing that thou hast provided this way, Lord, where we can come boldly before the throne of grace and implore thee of our needs and to glorify thee and to worship thee. And so, Father, we as a congregation, Lord, do that even now. Lord, as we come before thee, we behold thee with eyes of faith. We love thee and we thank thee for all that thou hast done. Father, we would not murmur nor complain, Lord, with our lot in life, Father, but we would acknowledge, Lord, that thou hast been good to us, far better than that which we deserve. And so we want to thank thee, and we want to praise thee for all that thou dost do for us. Father, our lives are rich because we have come to know thee. Lord, we have it in abundance in all things, spiritually and even physically. Father, but whether or not we would have things abundantly physically, we know what matters, Lord, is that we would know thee and have this abundant life in Jesus Christ in this way of the Spirit. And so we love thee, and we give thee the thanks and give thee the praise and thank thee for opportunities that we have even now to be around thy word, Lord, and to reflect upon those events that have happened in time past and the truths that are written in thy word. And how we might grow in Thee and be drawn close unto Thee and have that fellowship with Thee and with Thy Spirit and know that we are in Thy presence. And so we would pray Thee, Lord, that we would come with reverent hearts, with a desire to be part of this worship and this fellowship that we would have with Thee. And so as the word would go forth in this afternoon hour, we just pray Thee that it would go forth in power and in truth, and that Thou wouldst give grace to our brother as he would speak forth the words of life, Lord, and that which we might come to know and better understand and fully appreciate of Thy workings in the apostles' lives and in the early church. And so we just pray, O God, that Thou wouldst give us attentive hearts and minds, ears, Lord, that we would absorb that which Thy Spirit would have for each and every one of us. Father, for where we fail Thee, Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wouldst forgive us and hold that not against us, but help us to grow and to learn and to trust in Thee more, Father, and not to have this strong desire, Father, to take matters into our own hands, Father, but simply to trust in Thee, to have faith in Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt provide. Thou art sitting on the throne, and no man will dethrone Thee, O Father. And so may we have faith and patience and just trust in Thee, Lord, that knowing that Thou wilt accomplish Thy will if we yield our lives over unto Thee in fullness. And so we know that it will be well with us when we yield our lives over unto Thee. Father, there are many things that we can pray about. Lord, Thou knowest all things. We are just so thankful that Thou dost hear our prayers, Thou dost answer our prayers, and Thou dost bless us richly. We give Thee thanks for these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
In this portion of Scripture here in Acts, we find and realize that this is one of the missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul was on. And he went from various places to bring the gospel message to them. And he finds himself here in Athens, where he finds that these... And he came there for the sole purpose to preach Jesus Christ. We know that when he was on the road to Damascus and Christ met up with him, blinded him for 3 days, he was told that he was going to be given a responsibility, and that is to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. In this case, it was to many of the Greeks. And when we read in the Scriptures about the Greeks, oftentimes it's referring to the Gentiles. The Jews recognized and looked at the Greeks as Gentiles, and they had little or no dealings with them. And as we can see here, Paul ran into an opposition. But he came here, and it says that his manner was to go into the synagogue, and he, for 3 days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, when they talk about him reasoning out of the Scriptures, we think of the Scriptures as the Bible that we have, and we are well familiar with, and we are acquainted with. But that's not necessarily what the Scriptures that he had. The Scriptures he had was basically the Old Testament. And he was well aware of it because he was trained and taught under Gamaliel. He knew the Scriptures. And he knew what Christ was all about. He knew that there was going to be a Christ to come to save them, to help them with their sins and to die on the cross. And so they didn't understand it. This was all new. And so he was appointed to go about and bring this gospel message to those wherever he traveled. And here he finds himself in this synagogues bringing forth this gospel message. And it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And so this is what he's referring to when he talks about Jesus. They were not familiar with Jesus. Many of them didn't know what that meant. Didn't understand his being crucified. Didn't understand the resurrection of the dead, like he rose the third day. And so he had to bring this gospel message to them so that they would understand. And this is what we find him doing here. And it says then, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Jews, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So you see, there were a lot of people that accepted this new message, if you will. They accepted the gospel message that he brought. They accepted and realized that there was something to this. I believe that was all because of the leading of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life, as well as the growing of the church, the new age, if you're the beginning of the churches. And so all of this was in the beginning of where they were learning all about Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, his resurrection. But there it says here that the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jesus, and sought to bring them out to the people. So you see, there was these Jews that was a thorn in his side, if you will. And they followed him around. We can read it further on there when he went to Thessalonica. They found out he was there. They came there, too, to stir up trouble. Because they couldn't accept Jesus Christ. They didn't accept Christ when he was here, and they weren't about to accept anything that Paul taught about him. And so he gathers these, as it says, lewd fellows. These were of the baser sort. These are just fellows, people that were maybe unemployed or just sitting around doing nothing. And so they were troublemakers. And this is what these Jews found these men to stir up this trouble, to give Paul a hard time, because he was preaching Jesus Christ. And they said, they brought him to these here magistrates and these here rulers and said, here, these are these men that had turned the world upside down. Excuse me? It seems to me that you're the one that started all the trouble and you're turning the world upside down. But you see how they turned it all around, and they even convinced the rulers that these men were part. And so they took them out, and it says what they did to them. And they mistreated them and so forth. And so, but Paul and Silas managed to get away. The brethren there saw what was going on. These lewd people and these ones that caused this uproar didn't know exactly where he was. And so it says he escaped them out of the house by night, and they was able to get away from this trouble and this problem. But that didn't deter Apostle Paul. He didn't say, well, you know, that's it, I've had enough, no more. No. He went right straight to Thessalonica to do the very same thing. Wanted to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that was his lot in life. We see that when he did this, he wrote many letters to the churches, of which you and I today use as the scriptures. He taught oft times and everywhere he went about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what we heard even this morning, how that there were those that In the Israelite people, when they went and was saved by this serpent, like we heard this morning, and then when Christ was lifted up, like it is mentioned about it in John, where it mentions about that he was lifted up as the serpent, that we should look to Christ. And this is the message that Paul was trying to bring across to these people. Look to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's our hope. He's our everything, if you will. And so to try to bring this message to the people was not an easy task for him. He suffered a lot of persecution, beatings, stonings, all kinds of things, just to fulfill the gospel message that he felt the need, because God had given him that, or Christ had given him that responsibility. And he oftentimes brings encouragement to Paul. I remember there's times where he was in jail, and the Lord came and spoke to him through an angel, and not to be discouraged, to take courage, that I will be with you, I will see you through all this. And he did. And so, to me, it's a lesson that we can take for ourselves today, that the gospel message, in the way that we spread the gospel message, by the way we live, we need to take courage and continue to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it becomes difficult. Sometimes we get discouraged. Even as he talked in here, how the apostle then, as he went into Athens, and he says he sees here where they were worshiping idols. It says that for all the Athenians and the strangers which were there, and Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So when he saw this, they even apparently had some inkling or some thought that there is a God, some sort. But they were so confused and so wrapped up in their idol worship and so wrapped up in their gods that they worship, that he saw this and he says, "Let me tell you about the unknown God." And so he goes in to tell them, begins to talk about it, about what God had done, what he made the world, and so forth. You see, when they worship the idols, the God, the unknown God that they didn't know, did not realize that he was the one that gives them life and breath. And you know, sometimes I wonder today if that's why people don't worship God. Why are there people in this country, in this world, if you will, that just don't recognize God in any way? It's just like, I'm here today, gone tomorrow. When I die, it's all over with. It's not like that. When you die, it's not over with. It's only the beginning. And we may spend 50, 60, 70, 80 years on this earth. We don't know how long we're going to live. But when we die, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity. And you have a choice then to which way you want to live your life, where you want to end up being in eternity when you pass away. And life is too short to just, and so we are given the opportunity to come to the knowledge of the truth, to know this God, to know this Jesus Christ, like we heard this morning. And those of you that have this poison going through your veins, you need to realize where your eternity is. And let me rest assure you, it is not in heaven. You are following the wrong gods, just as we've seen here where the Apostle Paul found these worshiping the wrong gods. And so he had to explain to them, he had to tell them about this God that is willing to save them. Jesus Christ's blood is the only thing, like we heard this morning, the only thing that can save us. Nothing that we can do, nothing we can say. Only believe, only trust. And for my friend outside of Christ, you heard it this morning very plain and clear. And we, as ministers of the gospel, will not cease to remind you of your destiny. That's why I say, when you die, it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. And it's your decisions that you make in your life will determine that destiny. And that even goes for us that are believers. You know, I've often said that when a soul repents and becomes a child of God, that's only the beginning. Now you have the rest of your life, no matter how old you are, to serve that Lord, serve that God to the best of your abilities, to walk honestly, to worship him, to glorify him, to live pleasing in his sight. This is our responsibility. We're given this. And whether it's 10, 20, 50 years, whatever it is, it's our responsibility. And if we're neglectful in this, we can pay the price. We're only kidding ourselves. We're only losing the blessings from God when we find ourselves becoming negligent in our Christian walk of life. And you know, for my unconverted friend, it might seem like a rigid way to go and a rough road. Yes, it is. Christ said it's a narrow way. It's not broad. Rest assured, it's a narrow way. And when he said it is a narrow way, I don't believe he meant that it's a hard and rough and you're going to barely make it. That's not what he means. When he said it's a narrow way, he means that we need to guard our lives, stay away from sin in every way of manner that we can. Do we fail? Yes. There are times when we do fail. But God is gracious. He will uplift us. He will encourage us. He will strengthen us. We must repent. We must confess our faults. We must repent and live this godly life. And it's not as hard as you might seem to think. I remember when I was unconverted, I thought that ain't no way. Ain't no way I could live that life. That's too narrow, too straight. Well, you know what? I was right. I can't live that life by myself. I need the leading of the Holy Spirit. I need to trust in God. And when I finally got it through my head and I finally learned to do that, I found that this road is not such a narrow, hard road that I made out in my mind that it was. It's not like that. It might sound like a bunch of rules and you can't do this and you can't do that and you don't go here and you don't go there. That's what I had in my mind. You know what? When it comes to time, I didn't care. I didn't care about any of them things. I wasn't interested in them. I was interested in serving the Lord. And whatever he wanted me to do, that's what I wanted to do for my life. And you can do the same thing with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the way us believers do it. That's the only way we can do it. If we don't trust in the Lord and we don't rely on him, believe me, we get lost, we get confused. And we even get to the point where some of these that they're doubting. You know, that's the worst thing today, is people doubting their faith, doubting what they believe in, doubting in any way, shape, or form. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Just simply trust, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will see you through. I can promise you that. I've lived long enough to know that and experience that it can be done. And so, as the Apostle Paul here, we see how he preached and taught that way of Jesus Christ so that they would grasp an understanding. And the main thing that he had to bring to them was this resurrection. You see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That was like completely foreign. We believe it because we read it so many times. We believe it because it's in all the Gospels. We've learned it. We've come to know it. We accept it as it is. These people were not like that. They didn't have what we have today. And so it was difficult for them to grasp what does it mean to be resurrected from the dead. And they couldn't accept that. Once they did, once they accepted that doctrine of Paul's, they become to realize and understand what God is all about. And what resurrection, if it wasn't for his resurrection, him being alive and guiding us daily, we would be lost too. And the Apostle Paul writes about that in the book of Romans. We understand that it was needful and necessary for him to rise from the dead. And that he is alive. And that you and I have a chance, we have a hope, because he is alive. He's our Lord and our Master. He's our Savior. And he's the one that we depend upon, we call upon, we are yielded to. And when we're willing to do that, we're willing to, and we our destiny then, based on the Scriptures, would that we could live eternally with our God, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have that hope. We have them promises. in his word, and read it in different places, but it was Paul's responsibility to get that message to all of these, especially about the unknown God. And that's why he says in here, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the things of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because, he says, he hath appointed a day in the which we will judge, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." So there you have it. Speaking of Christ, and there's coming a judgment. We're all going to stand before the judgment. We're going to be judged according to our works. We're not going to be judged whether we was an apostolic or any other thing. We're going to be judged according to our works, our trust in the Lord, our faith in him, and how we live that. We need to keep that in the back of our minds as we live our lives according to the scriptures. So may God bless these words upon our hearts. May we realize the need and grasp the meaning of the resurrection, of what it meant as he spoke about to these people, that we too can trust and believe in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God, whether they were in Thessalonica, Berea, or Athens, brought forth the gospel message. They alleged that Christ must suffer and that he must rise from the dead again, and that faith in Jesus Christ would bring about salvation. In Thessalonica, in Berea, and in Athens, there was a mixed response. There were those that believed, and there were those that mocked. It's no different today. The message of salvation goes forth, the truth of Jesus Christ, it goes forth. There are those that believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was sent from God, and he did die for our sins. And by his shedding of blood, there is remission for our sins, and we can have the hope of salvation if we have faith in that. There are those that believe that, those of us in this room. And then there are others that mock that. Just as it was then, it is now. But as Brother Bob was finishing up there, there's that verse there that says, "And God will judge each and every one." So it's up to us. Will we have that faith in Jesus Christ? Will we have that living faith in him? That we believe in him, and we trust in him, and we don't trust in any other source. They were idols in that day of stone and gold and all that. They're idols today. But if we have faith in Jesus Christ and in him exclusively, we will have eternal life. So may God grant unto each and every one of us that we would have that believing heart in Jesus Christ. Amen.